This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Hello, lucky ones. It is Business Success Tips from the Space People.
I'll be glad when they finally show up, you know, and they like make themselves. Yeah, I had a hard enough time with a 75-year-old goddamn chorus girl. Now space people have a problem. I just don't understand.
So if you have no idea what we're talking about, you'll need to listen to the previous episode, which was episode 240.
It's because I've had these people die recently, like the last 4 days.
It's got you feeling all metaphysical.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, I mean, it's interesting. Both people didn't plan for their death. I mean, they knew they were going to die. One was 52 and one was 47, and they like lived their life like it wasn't going to. They didn't write a will, nothing. And then, boom, they're dead. Like, they're totally in denial. I mean, you live life like you're going to die because, for God's sakes, we're going to die. So why don't you take every moment?
Perfect business topic. Succession. Business succession. What do you do when you're getting toward the twilight of your career with your business? If it's got tangible assets.
Well, that's a good topic, but we were supposed to get to the second of the four agreements. Oh, we were supposed to get to that last episode, and somehow we didn't get
there. I will talk about the second agreement.
All right. Okay. Bring it.
All right.
The second agreement
is
don't take things personally. That is the second agreement. And he carries it to the extreme. If somebody comes and blows your brains out, it's not about you, it's about them. I mean, you may suffer from it because you just got your brains blown out, but it's not about you, it's about them.
Right. So you're walking down the street and you pass somebody and they're screaming bloody murder. They're screaming at you and they're angry and they have all this energy and, you know, you did this, or in the car, road rage happens all the time, right? And it's this thought of saying, instead of saying, you know, getting defensive and putting the walls up and having your ego threatened, is to say, gosh, I wonder what's going on with that person, and realizing that it says so much more about them than you.
I believe most human conflict, everything from divorces to wars to, you know, rape, all the horrible things that happen in the world, are due to what I call the attack-defend cycle.
Oh, absolutely.
Someone does an attack, something so subtle as, oh, I see you finally got here. Or, yeah, that's an okay shirt. Or it can be very subtle, or you're an asshole. I mean,
yeah.
But it invokes some form of an attack.
So let me give you a really good metaphor for this in sports. So hockey, we've talked about this in the past. I was watching the Sharks
game. You are Canadian, aren't you?
I am so damn Canadian. So I was watching the Sharks game the other night, and Joe Thornton, who's the top scorer in the league, classy player, just, you know, he's got you know, eyes in the back of his head, kind of like Gretzky.
Gretzky-esque, yes.
Yeah, very Gretzky-esque, real playmaker. Anyway, he gets a late hit behind the net, scores 0-0, right? He gets a late hit. The guy, it was just a chippy defenseman just doing a stupid thing. Well, he reacted badly, and he slashed the guy. Well, guess what happened? The guy who kind of gave him the late hit, nothing happened to him. He went into the penalty box for slashing. Well, that determined the outcome of the game. Mm-hmm. They ended up, you know, they scored on the power play. There was another penalty during that power play. They scored on the next power play, and they lost to a team that they shouldn't have lost of. So that, to me, is kind of a little bit of a metaphor. Yeah. I mean, if you get a late hit, you know, don't react.
Two wrongs don't make a right.
We attack all the time, almost unknowingly. Anytime we say, back to the impeccability of your word, an earlier episode, anything that's not impeccable can be perceived as an attack. Some form or another.
It's absolutely true. And I have to say that without divulging a lot of personal details right now, this is a conversation going on between my wife and I. And it's a pretty, you know, I think enlightened, conscious conversation, but is unwiring the conversational dynamics and the ego attack defense cycle. I like that. That happens, that it almost spirals out of your control. Even when you're thinking about it and you don't want it to happen, it's so easy, even for oneself, conscious in the moment, to have the walls go up. It's almost like the automatic shields go up where you can't even stop it. It's like, wait, my own shields are going up and I can't stop. And because it's so hardwired in us to become, for our ego to defend us.
Right.
And everything shuts down at that point. All communication, progress stops.
Right.
In general. And I think it is the mastery of that is the key to successful business, communication, marriage, all
that. Yeah, one of the things that says a lot about our society, why we haven't dealt with that as a society, I was trying to find a movie or a story or something that has the moral of good versus evil, where the answer wasn't to kill the bad guy. It's always the answer. And I'm going, we are a little more enlightened than that. It's always the
makes
answer.
Makes for good movies.
It's always the only from answer Bayou we have. The only answer we have to solve a problem is kill the bad guy.
So let me. Can I take this to business?
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
Please, absolutely not.
So, you know, and I'm finding that, and I don't know if it's Gen X, Gen Y, or one of the gens that's a lower gen than me, but I'm finding that people are tend to be a little bit thin-skinned these days. And you have to be very careful about what you say to people so as not to offend them. And you can undo a lot of good by saying something that offends them. And I was talking to my neighbor, who's also a business owner. He's from New York. He's a New Yorker, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm from the East Coast. And we're kind of joking. You know, back in the Northeast, people are a lot more, seem to be a little bit more thick-skinned than they are around here. So we were kind of joking around about the fact that, you know, he's got the same issues in a very different business, but he has to be very sensitive to his employees, and he's not a sensitive guy at all.
So PC.
So to hear him talk about being, you know, sensitive to employees, it's comical. It's really funny to hear him talk about it. So we're always joking back and forth. He just had a birthday party, and you know, we had some gag gifts for him, and we're going to kind of lay into him. And I said in front of the whole party, I said, Bob, I just want to make sure you're a thick skinned guy, because we're going to lay some pretty heavy stuff on. He said, bring it on, you know. And I think that, you know, the part of the issue is you got to get past that. I mean, you need to be willing to accept criticism from your superiors, because a lot of times they're not attacking you, they're attacking what you've done, and they're trying to correct it, right?
The first place, it's never about you. It's always about them.
Right. Well, or it could be about you, but not about you as a person, but about something that you're underperforming at and you could be doing a better job of, right? And that's a tough thing as a manager. When you're a small business owner, you need to try to correct people's things that they're not doing properly in business without offending them. But every once in a while, you're going to offend them.
Because we as a
people
race, for lack of a better term, at least most Western civilization, take everything personally.
Well, let's even boil this down to the next level, to the sap here, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's that we are, as a race, we're ruled by our egos. And our egos are pretend to be, they're the great liar.
They
pretend to be our best friend, but are actually, in fact, our worst enemy, because they prevent us from really enlightenment and consciousness and good communication.
Well, one of the best definitions of ego I ever heard was, it's the part of you that says, let's eat cake, and says I'm too fat.
Heard that before, yeah.
You can't win.
Right, you can't win.
There's no possible way to win.
And your ego is not you. This is the key thing. People actually, the problem with the ego, one of the lies of the ego, we're getting back to almost Toltec here now. One of the lies of the ego is that I am you, or I am your protector.
Right.
But we are not our egos. We are, people talk about higher self, right? Whatever that means. There is a you outside of your ego, and it is when you're free from your ego. Now, here's the irony. What are moments that you escape from your ego? One of them is when your ego is completely decimated. So one of the moments of personal freedom, which in Toltec is what they seek, is personal freedom. Mm-hmm. One of the ways they do that is, we were talking about New Jersey, New York, busting on each other thing, right? Well, one of the ways that keeps your ego down, and when your ego is shrunken, you have a greater ability to escape it and accumulate wisdom and knowledge and power and move forward in with your, you know, yourself,
sure,
in every way. And so, but it's really hard because your ego is like this inflating balloon that always wants to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And it says it all under the banner of, I'm helping you, I'm making you better, I make you feel good, all these things. And it's addictive. It's a drug. You want it. And that's what the ego does. It's the game it plays with you. But when you destroy the ego, or it's destroyed for you, divorce, death, being made fun of, losing your best friend, whatever it is that shrinks your ego, in the moment of destruction of the ego, if you survive it, meaning you don't blow your brains out or something like that, in that moment, and anybody who's had this experience, and usually almost everybody has it in life, you know, once you get past the age of about, you know, 15 or 20, you have an ego destruction moment. If you really think about it, that it was not really the worst thing that ever happened to you. It wasn't just the worst thing that ever happened to you. It was a moment of growth and spiritual evolvement.
Well, it's the whole thing about attachment. Because your ego is the thing that's attached. No ego, no attachment, right? And all suffering is caused by attachment, the old Buddhist thing.
Right, desire is the cause of suffering.
Suffering, blah, blah, blah. So what happens is, in business, to be an incredibly powerful businessman, if you, one, keep your word, which as we talked about earlier is huge, and secondly, you don't take things personally, then no one can emotionally hurt you. They may be able to physically hurt you, but you are emotionally invulnerable. Because if people go, no matter what they say or what they do or what names they call you or whatever they try to beat you up, if you don't take it personally, you don't suffer.
Well, so I think a worthy goal is to be inflappable. Have you ever seen someone who's really inflappable?
Yes.
And just admired that person so much?
Absolutely.
Because they're just under siege and they're just cool as a cucumber. Yeah. And they're responding with logic and not with emotion.
Yeah.
And, you know, probably inside they're boiling, but they've learned how to control it, right?
Or possibly they've mastered their ego and they're not. Right.
Maybe they're not even boiling inside.
But either way, it's valid. It's good.
Well, then another time your ego goes away is when you are in the zen of the moment, whether you're playing golf or closing a business deal or talking to someone or, you know, in a sport or skiing down a hill. If you can actually imagine and be present, that is, totally present, no future, no past, in the moment, your ego goes away. Mm-hmm. It's just you and whatever. If you're, for example, playing golf, you don't care whether you're behind or you're ahead, it's you and the club and the golf ball, and it's in the moment. There is no future or past.
Well, that's no mind.
That's easy for you to say. I played golf with you, and you don't keep score.
Right. That really helps.
That's how you do it, huh?
That's how I did.
So, I've wrapped a club or two around a tree. Actually, I wrapped one club around a tree once. So, I don't think that I was in a no-mind moment.
An incredibly powerful place to come from is if you cannot take things personally, you can go into any meeting, you can go into dealing with, whether it's your banker or your employee, and no matter what they say or do, you can be right on, totally logical, and deal with them, because if they say, you suck, you went bankrupt, pick one, you're ugly, you're uncoordinated, you don't know how to sell, and you truly know that it's not about you at all, it's about them. That all that is just coming from their view of the world. It has nothing to do with you. It's just the stuff they're projecting on you, and it's their stuff.
That they're carrying, that's their own baggage.
Their own baggage. Carrying. And everybody's carrying all this baggage, and they throw it on you from all different sides. It has nothing to do with you. But if you can pull that off as a business person, you are incredibly powerful.
I totally agree. I mean, in life, in business, everything. Yeah. And mastery of the ego. And that's just something personally for me. Mastery of the ego is something I seek always. It's, deflating. And it's actually interesting now that I actually have things happen that will inflate the ego. And I notice the ego being inflated. And I consciously deflate my own ego. And it's good to have people around you that keep you honest and bust your balls and all that. Mm-hmm. Because I think that they're helping you. And it's interesting, even to go back to the Toltec thing, in Toltec philosophy, and Carlos Castaneda talked about this in his books, and I think Don Miguel Ruiz might talk about it too, but the idea of a petty tyrant. And a petty tyrant is somebody who is the most horrible, annoying, awful person in your life who just is your tyrant. They destroy your life and they make your life horrible. It's like a bad boss or something like that. And in Toltec wisdom, it's considered a gift. The greatest gift from the divine to have a petty tyrant in your life.
Because you've learned from that.
Because it helps you sharpen your impeccability, going back to your impeccability. And it also, deflates your ego, and it serves you in this really sort of counterintuitive, opposite day kind of way. So anyway, this idea of, though, consciously deflating the ego at all times, and at least, if not deflating it, if you're not there, being conscious of it and making it other. Don't think you're your ego or your feelings.
Right. But one of the ways, in my opinion, of judging your evolution as a human being or as a spirit is what it takes to upset you. I mean, there are some people literally, I mean, Viktor Frankl, have you read his book?
Yeah. It's been a while. But
I think it's called something human spirit, but he was in the concentration camps and observing people doing about the horrible thing people have done in the recent past, and he observed it, and he didn't really get upset, which to me is, his family was killed, his kids were, he was able to
reason to get upset,
yeah. Right, to detach from that, and
some people are naturally detached, like people with Asperger's have a natural detachment and just, from birth aren't affected by
it. It could be a biological, psychological function. Yeah. Hey guys, we didn't take a break and we're 4 minutes over where we should have been.
Let's take a break now.
So we'll do that and we'll talk about Asperger's and Bill Gates and all that good stuff. we're back on Business Success Tips talking about
home. If you want to talk, it's interesting, a synchronous moment. I just listened to 7 hours of a book on Asperger's disease.
Yeah. And it's more a lot more common than you think.
Right, now, why? Why were you listening to that book? I'm curious.
Well, on the way to and from Palm Springs, Lisa's idea is, well, let's get some books on tape. And one of the books we listened to was of a guy who had Asperger's disease. And it's interesting.
Maybe they call it syndrome.
Syndrome. Yeah. And what's interesting is it talks about his life and how he has detachment. And he actually is a very interesting guy. He ended up doing the special effects for Kiss.
Was the band?
Yeah. Was what he ended up, one of the things he
did. Well, people who have Asperger's tend to have some savant-type characteristics.
Right, some really... Yeah. I mean, he was taking and putting together recording equipment at 12.
Yeah. Yeah, because they don't have so much invested emotionally, they have a lot more brain power, if you will, to deal with things like...
But they have a problem. One of the problems they have is...
Or trafo data.
Is the same problem is that they don't understand... They can't empathize with somebody else. Like, there's one way of doing something, and that's the only way you can do it. They don't get...
They don't show remorse, that much remorse.
It's, you know, play with the truck this way. Yeah. This is the only way you can play with the truck. Don't you get... I mean, there's not more than one way to play with the truck. And when you're 8 years old, that's a problem, because other kids have other ways of playing with trucks.
Right.
And it's very interesting with his whole life. But it is... That is, I guess, a strength of that thing. But you can get there from a volitional point of view. And if you actually can detach, and that doesn't mean you're not effective. I mean, you can go into any kind of adverse situation and be detached and, you know, not take it personally and still be incredibly effective. You don't need to get angry. You don't need to be upset. You know, all that kind of stuff really doesn't serve you in most cases. It's a primitive kind of response, but it doesn't help you get the job done. And the illusion is, well, if I get angry or I get pissed or I get this way, I'm going to be better at it. And that's not true.
Yeah, but, you know, there are no absolutes in life. And sometimes if to be emotional in a business situation can help. I mean, I got beaten up by a boss really badly once. And it actually ended up having a positive effect on me.
No, like beaten up verbally.
Verbally beaten up by a VP of sales, and I was a rookie sales guy, and he just verbally beat the living shit out of me.
How old were you?
And at the time, I was 32. It was because I hadn't done sales up until that point. And it was, you know, at the time it was devastating, and I felt like, you know, someone had just punched me in the gut afterwards. And, you know, I was sitting in my backyard with a hockey stick and a puck, just, you know, shooting a tennis ball at the house for an hour after the call. I remember distinctly. But what he said to me that day never left my brain.
Right.
You know, the message, and had he not been so heavy-handed, I would not have learned as much.
I
would say there are no absolutes.
Disagree with that. I would say he could have said the same thing.
No, it would not have had the same effect.
No,
I guarantee you, I'm giving you my subjective.
It got in that way.
It sunk in. It imprinted itself.
Which is based on your schema. We each have a different way we receive messages or not. And for you, that worked.
Yeah, and, you know, and I had a situation recently with a sales guy where I basically had been saying the same thing over and over again in a very diplomatic, PC way. And I finally got heavy-handed on him. And he could tell he was just sort of taken aback. I wasn't yelling at him, but I was very forceful about how I was selling it, saying, you know, you cannot do, you know. And I took it to the next level. And you could tell he was taken aback and he was affected.
He responded to that.
But you could tell for the first time he actually said, holy shit, this guy really means what he's saying.
Yeah.
So I think that I wouldn't say that, you know, this sort of, you know, emotional void is necessarily the answer.
Well, that's where you have to know people, though, because that same approach with another person could just make them wilt and run away.
But you can be temporarily, you know.
You can be enthusiastic.
No, not necessarily temporarily. I'm speaking from experience.
Yeah.
You told me a story about this recently. Is that you said that you got I can't remember who it was, but you had said something that you were coaching somebody. And it was a woman, and you said something, and the way you said it, she just got completely flustered, like she was doing something wrong on the computer. We have it on an episode.
Yeah.
And it was the exact contrary of what you're saying, where you had that experience.
But she didn't run away.
But she wilted, though. She emotionally wilted. Yeah. I'm just saying. Yeah. So I think part of being a good manager or business owner is to read people
and
know that. It's a good skill.
But by the same token, I mean, you can't worry about someone quitting because you hurt their feelings one day.
You can't pussyfoot around, and that's one of the annoying things about being in Northern California, and we've talked about this before. It's like, I'm an East Coaster. I'm from Philadelphia. Yeah. If you don't know Philadelphia, watch an Eagles game. We threw snowballs against – there were two fans in the stands from the other team, and they were pelted with snowballs. They had to be escorted away by security. That's the town I come from.
See, I think that is a mistake.
What, pelting the fans with snowballs? Oh, well, who's going to disagree with that? They booed Santa Claus in Philadelphia at the football game.
That's why we have wars. That's why people, I mean, if you look at...
Well, you know what? No. You haven't been... You're the product of the PC Northern California thing. And I'm just saying, like, in Philadelphia, we get that. We rip on each other. We bust each other's balls, but there's a lot of love. It's weird. It's hard to describe. You look at it from the outside and you think, these people hate each other. They're vicious, violent people. And it comes off that way. And, you know, quite frankly, some of them are. But, I mean, it's like...
Now you're going to defend Raiders fans. I can see
that. No. I took my son to a Raiders game and I will never go back. Because there was no good side to that. That was just vicious and ugly. And that was a different thing. I'm sure we just lost our open attention. Screw them anyway. You're a Raiders fan.
About, Paul, is expressing love in an aggressive way, which is kind of unique to the Northeast.
Yes, in a thick-skinned, aggressive way. The thing is, it's like you have to be complicit in it. You have to understand that what you give, you must also take.
Well, if the person you are, the object of your whatever you're talking to, manages to not take things personally, you're fine. But what happens so often is that we as a civilization, or at least Western civilization, takes everything personally. And that's just
that's the problem. We have to get the hell over ourselves.
Exactly, I agree.
The problem isn't with being more PC. It's with us getting the hell over ourselves. Yeah. Now, we all know the difference, too, between a truly vicious ad hominem type attack that's really vicious and something that you really didn't have to take it personally. Okay? I mean, if I say, you are an ugly motherfucker and you're stupid, that's ugly and vicious, you know? But if I just start busting on things that are, you don't need to take
that.
Even
if you're ugly and vicious, I can choose to be upset or not to be upset.
Well, no, I'm not going to disagree with that. Enlightened Zen
the
master.
Gandhi thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm talking about that people, I guess my point is that people are too thin-skinned as a general rule, particularly in the area of the country we're in, and it's gone too far, and we need to have some balance between New York, New Jersey, and Northern California, because this shit ain't working for me.
Well, right. If people didn't take things personally, we wouldn't have the damn problem.
You know, I think everyone just needs to play rugby, because rugby is the sport where you beat the crap out of your opponent.
And you have beers later.
You have beers out, and you sing songs.
I agree. I think that's beautiful. We're going to leave this episode on that note. Everyone should play rugby.
And don't take it personally.
And that was a little bit pandering to our overseas.
Nice. Well played.
Or football.
We will see you next time with the Space People.
And there it is, another episode of Business Success Tips. Thanks as always for joining us. You can check out our website online at businesssuccesstips.org. Send us an email at friends@businesssuccesstips.org. Or if you're a Twitter stalker, find us at twitter.com/BST podcast. Thanks. We'll see you next time.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.
Hey, this is Sean Daly, host of Green Talk Radio. Green Talk helps you navigate the maze of green and eco products on the market today and make smarter lifestyle choices at home and at work through informative and entertaining interviews with industry authors and experts, as well as executives from innovative companies around the world. Find Green Talk Radio on iTunes or at personallifemedia.com. Green Talk Radio, environmental stewardship through smart consumption.